you might want to take home. They're free. We just want to be a blessing to you if we can. Amen? I want to bring you a word from the Word tonight. If we can, let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 in the NLT. And we're going to start right there. Thank you, son. Now, this is one of the depictions of the Word of God. The Word says this, "For the Word of God is alive and it's powerful." I had a vision many years ago, and I was taken out of my body. It's when we were living in Patterson, California, in the middle of 17 acres of apricots. And when I stopped, the Lord prepared me for some months before and told me that he wanted to show me something, and it was going to be in an unconventional style. But I went up, 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 and when I stopped, I had my eyes closed. The Lord said, "Open your eyes," and I looked. And as high as I could see and as far down and all around me was the Word of God. And he said, "Now be still." And as I was still, the Word had a heartbeat and the Word had breath in it. It was the living Word. And ever since that time, he did something in me where I recall Scripture. It's not something that I learned. It's a gift from God. And I use it all the time. But the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's alive and powerful. That's why you want to speak the Word. You don't want to speak your mind. You want to speak the Word. You want to pray the promises of God. Because if you don't learn how to do that, your chances of staying hooked up in church isn't very much, because you'll get disillusioned. You won't get results. The way that you're going to get results is the way that the Bible says that you will get results. And you will get results. "Man shall not live by bread alone," Matthew 4, Luke 4, "but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God," John 18, 31 and 32. If, 1,522 ifs in the King James Version of the Bible, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth. And the idea is, the truth will inundate you from the inside out. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And everybody wants to be free, but everybody's definition of freedom is different. Amen? But think about that, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to act on the word before this service is over. The word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit. What that means is, as you read the Bible, you know, the first thing that happened to me is I began to read the Bible when I got saved. And I read it so much, I denned away with the Bible, just me and the Bible. I was undergoing a change. I read the Bible till the Bible began to read me. And I began to locate where I was. And slowly but surely, God changed my life. Now, some people can grow faster than others, and I don't have anything against that. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. And it will, as you read and study the Word of God, this is the way God sees life, it will divide what is of the flesh, which is of no use to you, and what is of the spirit, which is the only thing that's useful to you. So that's what happens. And it's not as, you know, we're not going to debate about things and argue about things. But if you read the Word of God will locate where you are and help you to be where you want to be. I could call everybody up one person at a time, and everybody knows where they want to be. They would say, "I want to be here, there, or everywhere." Sharper than the two-edged sword, cutting between the flesh and the spirit, between joint and marrow, and it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The written word, let me just look that up in the King James. It says a little different. It's a discerner. The Word of God is a discerner. It's alive, see? It discerns between what is of the flesh and what is of the spirit. And if you meditate on the flesh and you don't stop, sooner or later you're going to do wrong. If you meditate on the Word of God and praying in tongues and the Holy Spirit, sooner or later you're going to be set free and marvelous things are going to happen in your life. I say at most of my messages, God doesn't bless me or answer my prayers because I'm a minister. He answers my prayers and blesses me because I'm a son. I'm a son that has studied the Word. I eat it as my daily food. It means something to me. It always has. Why? I don't know. It just always has. But I've seen amazing things that God has done. So I'm sharing a message with you tonight that I've entitled Prayers That Get Answers. And how can we expect people to pray? Just say, well, just go pray. Well, pray what? Even Jesus' disciples said, Jesus, teach us how to pray, as John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. And prayer is something that needs to be learned and taught and understood. And just remember this, you got to pray the Word. You got to pray the promises of God. If you don't know what the heck is going on in your life anymore, that you can't find it in the Word, you better get in the Word a little bit more than you are, because that's what it's going to take to get set free. How many of you here tonight, there are several areas in your life you'd like to be free? Amen. Amen and amen. So that's what just think of the Word. When you open the Bible, if you give the Lord and the Holy Spirit half a chance, that Word's going to come alive inside of you. Those promises are going to become real inside of you. And if you begin to speak them, to pray them, and to speak them, to speak them and to pray them. Bless God in Jesus' name. My children are not going to be sick. My children are not going to be broke. I'm going to be able to give them everything that they, in Jesus' name. Devil, come out. Obey me in the name of the Lord. Weather, change in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for a slight chance of rain and cooling down. Right now, we speak to the powers that be. That rain and that cooling sensation, come to the river valley. Come to the river valley also. In Jesus' name, obey us right now. And everyone said, amen. Now I'm going to read Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20 in the King James translation of the Bible. And we don't have that up, so I guess I'll pull it up. Luke chapter 10 and the King James translation of the Bible. Now I'm going to take you to where this is an important place. People like part of this a lot. When the 72 disciples returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And Jesus said unto them, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. There are several references to Satan being cast out of heaven. This is one of them. He said, behold, I give you power. Now see, you either believe this or you don't. You believe it because he said it. When the Word comes to the point, when you believe it because God said it, then you're going to get some results, some supernatural results that you're going to see. I kill every serpent that I see. I tread on them. The Bible says I'm supposed to. I killed one the other day. Macy was in the car, and I shot that thing, and it flew up in the air like a helicopter. And it went off into the bushes, and I said, well, I'm not going in there. That was a poisonous snake. But I kind of kicked around, and I saw it, and took the end of my gun barrel, put it up in the road. I put my foot on it, because that's what the Bible says I'm supposed to do. Put my foot on it. Tread on, in Jesus' name. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, this is talking also about demons. You need to, you don't have to do much of a Bible study to find out that these creatures are related to demons and Satan himself. And over all the power, over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. But the verse that stood out that I want to use, and it is so pertinent in prayer that you understand this, Satan scripturally is under your feet. He is under your feet. But a con man can get away with anything. But really, Satan is under your feet. And what Satan has to do to mess your life up, he's got to get you to turn your faith into a lie. You have to begin to believe a lie. You have to believe that you're defeated. You have to believe that you'll never meet the right person. You have to believe that you'll never get over your illness. See, he perverts your faith and uses it in your thought, in your head, to turn it against you. And you have to do warfare. You have to believe every day. And you need to confess what you believe every day. I never talk about illness and sickness. I never use it as an excuse to get out of doing something. I'd rather just say I don't feel like doing that to sacrifice my health and my well-being talking about something that isn't true. I'm perfectly healthy. I have the heart of a 20-year-old Olympiad, and I'm doing fine, and I'll do fine till he takes me, and he can take me anytime he wants to. I just don't want to die in the devil's time. I want to die in God's time. I tell him that every morning. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You have a right to take me today. You have a right to keep me here today. I don't have a, Lord, it's whatever you, thy will be done. But if I'm here, help me to do some good somewhere. And just be with me. And I trust you with every portion of my life. And by the way, I'm one of your sons. You have a right to correct me. See, the Bible says if you're without the correction of the Lord, you're bastards in the King James language. It means that you have no covenant relationship with him if he can't handle you and get you where you need to be. So when that truth as a young man sunk into me, well, I don't want to be that. I want to be a child of God. I had to yield myself to God. I had to learn, and sometimes I feel like I might be the slowest person on earth. I don't know. I can tell you I did my best sinning after I got saved. Because I got saved when I was 19 years old. And I was just getting started being an idiot. But you know, one day at a time, he loved me and he showed me, Angelo, I'm not so interested as what you did yesterday as what you're going to do today to make tomorrow better. Now I'm going to speak that over you. God is not so interested in what you did yesterday. See, he loves you despite that. But he's more interested in what you're going to do in the present time to make tomorrow better. Because see, if you get better, if there's things you can get cast out of your life, you're going to get more powerful. You're going to be more blessed. You can have what you say. Have the faith of God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall have whatever he says. Now listen, if that's the truth, we could start a revival on this earth just in this room. If we could get everybody in this room getting their prayers answered, and everybody in this room getting what God has for you, that would be a wonderful thing. There's nothing more contagious than a move of God. A true move of God. The devil can't stop it. So the verse I want to really move in on is verse 18, where Jesus said this. And this isn't the only place. It says it in the book of Revelation. And it says it where we're going next. He said, I saw Satan as lightning being cast out of heaven. See, the accuser of the brethren is not in the throne room putting words into the to ears of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. He's just not doing that. He's not doing that. His vote don't count anymore. And I'm getting to this point of the supreme power that every son and daughter of God has on this earth. Because if you don't get that, you'll not have any power in prayer. You have to know who you are and not be afraid of who you are. And you need to speak the word. By the way, we're doing all we can. And it is so hot out there. We have good air conditioning, good insulation. We got the fans on. It is still warm in here. But that's changing. Amen? How many of you will agree with me? Amen. And so let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. Verses 12 through 17 in the King James translation. And this is spoken over, prophesied over Lucifer, Satan, El Diablo, the devil, the booger man, the devil made me do it guy. How art thou fallen from heaven? He's fallen from heaven. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Wherever he's going, wherever he's being cast, and we know ultimately he's being cast in the lake of fire, when they look at him, they're going to say, is this the one that deceived us? There's really not anything to him. Why? Because God took that all away. The book of Ezekiel chapter 38 seems to reveal to us that at one time, Satan was the covering cherub or the chief angel over this world. That one time before mankind, and there were several things that happened, angels were kind of in charge here. And Satan lost that privilege when sin and pride was found in his heart. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 38, I can't read everything tonight, but I wish I could. I'm sharing a message with you, how to pray prayers that get answers. And there has to be a change in the vessel. There doesn't need to be a change in the word. May I say something to you? It doesn't matter what you think about the word of God. I've heard people say to me, well, Pastor, I know that the word says this and this, but, now, the animals that butt are goats. In the book of Matthew chapter 25, it says the sheep and the goats will be separated and the goats will be cast into hell. So remember the song. I'll sing it soon. I don't want to be a goat. Nope. I don't want to be a goat. Nope. Because a goat ain't got no hope. Nope, nope, nope. I don't want to be a goat. There's three or four more verses. We'll maybe sing that this Sunday night. But anyhow, Jesus saw him in the past tense. He said, I saw Satan cast out of heaven. That event has already happened. And then we've got Genesis 1:26. Let us, the Trinity, make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over everything. Over everything, over everything. Now, when you pray, if you doubt that at all, and you're praying, and you don't know whether to pray or go tinkle because you're so scared, it's best not to pray them prayers. Get your courage up. Get yourself in the Word. Find out who you are. You're a special person. Every one of you is special. God has not called any one of you to suffer at the hands of the devil. God wants to bless you more than we want to be blessed. He wants to change your life. If you'll get in that Word and you begin to speak that Word, if you get in that Word and begin to pray the promises of the Bible, it'll change your life. Amen? Let's move on to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 in the King James translation. Thank you in the sound booth. You're doing a good job. Now, follow up with me. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether or not they're from God. You know, the worst thing in the world is to enter into league or friendship or anything else, business, with a person that's not a Christian. You're going to suffer in that deal. I've never seen anybody not suffer in that deal. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, wherein you have heard that he's supposed to come, but he's already in the world. The spirit of the Antichrist has been in this world for over 2,000 years. It's the spirit that wants to question everything God's doing. No, you don't need to do this and blah, 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 blah. No, go ahead and eat that. It won't hurt you. God's just afraid you're going to be as smart as him. Let me just help you. You ain't never going to be as smart as God. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We are the work of his hands, and we are his creation. But we can sure know a lot more than most people do if we'll get down and read that word. And if you really want to get it in your heart, read it on your knees. If you really want to read it topically, get on your phone and say, hey, Siri, give me all Bible verses concerning healing, concerning relationships, or any other subject under the sun. There are over 7,500 promises in the Bible made to mankind. There's about 8,600 promises altogether made to the whole earth. And God has left no stone unturned. He fully plans and wants to bless you. You've just got to grasp a hold of what the truth is. And I'm going to tell you, I've got a few more minutes. I'm going to try to get that truth in you here in the next few minutes. Every spirit, verse 3, that confesses not Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. See, that's that but. Yeah, but, you know, it's different now. It's different. We can do this. We can do that. Well, we'll live together for a while and see how things work. You know, that's not what the Bible says, though. That's not how it works. I mean, man, you could have your own little fantasy world. Just write comic book on the front of it. Because God's only going to work according to his word. Does anybody have a problem with that? If you do, this probably isn't the right place for you. Because, you know, let me tell you why. The earth is the Lord's, Psalm 24 and verse 1, and the fullness thereof, and all the people, it all belongs to God. Whatever he says is the way it goes. If not, he can squish you like a frickin' bug. I don't want him to squish me. So I'm just going to say, yes, Lord, make me more willing. Help me, God. Help me to grasp this truth. Help me not to be a jerk. Help me to move on to something better. Help me to be in your will. Help me in my heart, Lord, inundate my heart where I only want what you want, where I only want your will, not my will. Kelly mentions this a time or two. There's not many churches like this where the pastor hands over the work to his daughter. Let me tell you something that was a killer move. That wasn't my idea. That was God's idea. She deserves to be called pastor and loved. And if she tells you something, you should pray about it and try to. And if she seems a little too busy, she is. She's very busy. She's busier than I've ever been in the ministry. But together we're changing lives and we're happy about it. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Now, this is the verse I wanted you to see here. You've overcome the devil. You've overcome these wrong spirits because greater is he that is in you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up, I will come into them. I will change them. God cannot change you from the outside in. It don't matter if you got the right dress or the right jeans to come to church. Come anyway. That ain't what God's interested in, for God's sake. He's interested in your heart. He wants to give you a heart transplant. Ye are of God, little children, and you have, past tense, overcome the devil, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me tell you something. If you've got Jesus inside of you and you know how to pray the word and you're not afraid to die and you're not afraid to live, you're hard to stop. Now listen, wherever you meet me, don't ever ask me to pray for you unless you mean business, because I will at least use this volume. We may just cast out some devils in the produce aisle at IGA. I mean, it just doesn't matter to me. And anybody that doesn't like it, that makes me even happier. Yeah, you know that's true, huh? We've done that a time or two, haven't we? We don't care where we pray. Why? Because the world belongs to God. The earth is the Lord, Psalm 24 and 1. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and all those that dwell within. It all belongs to God. I have a right to question anybody about spiritual things. Now, Proverbs chapter 11 says, he that winneth souls is wise. I don't just do it because I can do it, but I try to move when God is troubling the waters of somebody's heart. Amen? Look for that in people. There's people that don't want to go to hell no matter what you think, and they need your help. Well, greater is he that's in you. Greater is he that's inside of you. He's greater than the devil. He's greater than all evil. And he's inside of you if you're born again. And being born again doesn't mean that you never make another mistake. It means that all your mistakes are processed by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, by Jesus himself, your high priest. He ever liveth to make intercession for those who are heir of salvation. That means in this life and in the next life, he's going to be your high priest and mine. Last place on that, I'd like to turn to Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. And I titled this message, Prayers That Get Answered. See, you've got to have a victory. You've got to have victory. You've got to exercise who you are over evil in this world. And so think about that as we go to Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20 in the King James translation of the Bible. And this is at the end of Mark 16. And this is where Jesus, most of this is in red, this is where Jesus begins to commission a few that was around him. And he says this, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I can remember Kelly used to preach to the cows, the frogs, bugs. Didn't matter to her. She was just going to preach. She wasn't going to let anybody stop her. And we had her on television for the first time when she was 7 years old, the year that she got saved, on Emmett Spencer's program. And she was not shy about telling what she knew about Jesus. And Dave Verdue asked her, well, Kelly, how old are you? 7? And he goes, well, how long have you been saved? She said, 7 years. Now, she got that a little wrong, but everybody loved it. But she left there acting like she'd been saved from the time she was in the womb. She just, see, it's better than that to be, oh, Somebody else pray. I can't. Oh, I'm not worthy. I'm not sure if I should take communion. Away with that junk. If you're born again, you're a child of the Most High God. And if you ever find out who you are, it will change your present circumstances. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody. He that believes and is baptized. He that believes and is baptized. What is the significance of water baptism? Let me tell you something. I'd be a liar if I told you that I fully understood it, but we done did it last Sunday night. Why? Because God said so. We're going to have one more water baptism a week from this Sunday night. Be our last pool party, water baptism. And I believe in it because God said for me to believe in it. And we know it's a very simple thing. When we put you under the water, like I said, it's as you're dying with Christ. When we pull you back up, you got a new life. It's a new life. And we try to do that in a public setting like we've been doing this year. And because we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and then the Gentile. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody. He that believes and is baptized, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, you can be sure of that. Oh, I don't need church. God knows I do good things. I'm good. But see, ain't nobody good. And it sure isn't a matter of being good. It's a matter of being saved. Why? Because ain't nobody good. We all need to be saved. We're all born lost. That happened in the garden, thanks to Satan. Thanks to Adam and Eve. In chapter 3, they messed up. And chapter 4 was the first murder, where Cain kills his own brother. And from there, it ain't stopped yet. And the murder and the mayhem on the streets of all of our cities, all over the globe. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Now, everybody should be casting out devils. That's the first one mentioned. You don't cast out devils because you're a preacher. You cast out devils because you're sick and tired of the devil, and you know you've got more power than the devil. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Okay? And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Well, I felt like that a lot of the food I've eaten in my life. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up. Here's where we get into Acts chapter 1. He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. I believe we should act on the word. Now, to act on the word, this is a communion service. We should make an altar or come to the altar, whatever you're comfortable with. But to thine own self be true. If there's sin in your life, don't shuck and jive around it. Own it. You want to get over it? Own it. He that covers his sin will not prosper. But he that confesses and repents will find mercy and prosperity and fellowship with the Lord. So let's do that right now. Let's take communion. You've heard what you've heard. See how you can use it to your own advantage.